Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Kathleen. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a mom and a teacher and a writer, and I live in Minneapolis. I'm entering middle age, and I have two teenage sons, three dogs. I teach high school English, and I'm publishing my third novel this spring.
Let's chat about your third novel, because I love it's about friendships, it's about Olympics, it's about hockey, and it has a lot of different things. So tell us all about it.
Well, my third book is called Homer Away, and it's about two women who are both on the cusp of making the 2002 Olympic hockey team. And one of them, Susie, makes the team, and the other one, Lee, does not. And this is kind of the end of their friendship in 2002, and Lee leaves the sport forever, including all her secrets and things that she did to make the team behind her, until 20 years later, her son, who's in fourth grade, wants a shot at being great at hockey. And so the family moves back to Minneapolis, and she has to reunite with all of her old hockey connections and face the choices she made in the past.
And drama ensues.
That's right.
Awesome. So talk to us about your journey to publishing. What was it like for you?
That's such a good question. I started writing, I've always sort of thought of myself as a writer, but I started writing for real, like to see if I could finish a novel, when my younger son was in first grade. Mm-hmm. He is now in eighth grade. And you know how if you have children, or listeners who have children might realize, like, once your kids get to be like maybe six or seven, I feel like you have more time for yourself, like more hobbies can come back into your life. So I had decided the year before I started writing that I would really start reading again, like for myself. Mm-hmm. And I set a goal to read 52 books a year that year. And it was such a good resolution and helped me spend my time in ways that I was excited about. Mm-hmm. And so the following year, I set a goal to just try to write a book. Mm-hmm. So I spent a year on a book that wasn't very good. And at the end of that year, I threw that draft away and started what became my first novel, which was Minor Dramas and Other Catastrophes. And it was based on an experience in my school, my own kid trying out for the school play and kind of thinking about what might happen there. None of it is true, but that was the inspiration. And then I just kind of took the next step and the next step. And in my publishing journey, I was really aided by the Varsity Blues scandal, the college admissions scandal, was raging when my first novel was on submission with editors. Mm-hmm. And it's about helicopter parenting. And so that was a topic that people were really interested in. And my first novel got bought. And now 3 years later, here we are.
I love this. And so how is it like to write under contract? Like, is it different from writing before, where it's like you didn't have a contract, you didn't have timelines and deadlines, and now you do? So
yeah, it's really different. I feel really fortunate to be under contract still at this phase, but it is different. And in a couple of ways, like when Berkeley, my publisher, bought my first book, they said, okay, and we'd like to publish your second novel like a year after the first, so you have a year to write it. And I was like, wait, what? I don't even have an idea for it. So like just moving the timeline up, I ended up taking a full year off of teaching to work on that second book. And I don't think I could have finished it if I hadn't done that. But I also discovered during that year that I really like teaching, and that teaching is actually very good for my creative process. So mm-hmm. back in the classroom on a part-time basis now, and I'm hoping to stay that way. The other big difference with writing under contract is that you have to write what your publisher wants to publish. So it's not like I can just say like, oh, now I'm going to write like a horror story about blah, blah, blah. Like I have to pitch my idea, and my idea has to be accepted And that can be wonderfully collaborative, but it can also feel like, oh, well, it's not, the next project isn't exactly what I wanted to do at the time.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I have to think about it. Like, you know, because there's the ideal, like you want to be on contract, you want to, you know, that there's money coming in the way, but at the same time, you had to feel, you gotta work on the deadline. You gotta work with the publisher. You got expectations from your editor. Like there's all these marketing expectations and like, you know, that takes into account that it's a business of publishing, you know, that
it is a business. And also like a lot of it, you can't control. Like I'm used to being a classroom teacher where I'm very experienced in the classroom. I've taught for over 20 years and I know exactly how to do it. I know if it's going well, I get the immediate feedback from the students. If it's not going well, I pretty much know exactly what to fix. And at least with, if not immediately, then within like a day or two. So writing is really different than that. You know, like you're alone, you're working hard on an idea. You don't know how it's going. You don't get any immediate feedback. And then you can't really control how the world receives it. So be challenging. That's one reason I like to have the balance.
I like the balance too. I like the fact that you have like a little bit of both, you know. So what kind of books do you gravitate? Like when you read 52 books, like what kind of books did you end up reading? What type of books?
I read really widely. I like almost every genre. In the beginning, I think I started that 52 books a year thing in 2014. And in the beginning, I was teaching middle school and I read a lot of like middle grade and YA. Mm-hmm. I read a lot less of that because I'm not teaching that age group right now. But I like pretty much all genres. The only genre I don't read a ton of is historical. But one of my critique partners is a historical novelist. So I probably need to get back into that. I don't know why, but that's pretty much the only thing I don't read. Otherwise, I like it.
I love this. And what are you currently reading?
Right now, I'm reading The Book of Cold Cases by Simone St. James. I just got introduced to her on her last book, The Sundown Motel, and I was obsessed with that book. I think I recommended it to like everyone when I first read it. I really like ghosts and ghost stories, and she does such a good job of writing a ghost story. So I'm really enjoying that. I'm also reading Somebody's Daughter by Ashley C. Ford. Mm-hmm. I typically read more than one book at once, and I usually have an audiobook going as well. Mm-hmm. Because I have a longer commute now. I just finished Will Smith's autobiography on Audible, I got it on Libro, but on the audio edition. And that was fantastic. He did it himself and he performed some of his music and he does like imitations of people's voices. So I thought that was hugely entertaining and also kind of inspiring.
I love this. And do you have any other books you recommend our listeners to pick up? Any favorites? Any other standouts you have?
So hard to do favorites. Okay. Recently, I read this book by Stephanie Robel, and I became friends with Stephanie a couple of years ago when we both had our first books published. But I read her first book was great. It was Darling Rosegold, and it was a big hit. But her second book is even better. It's called This Might Hurt. And it's about sisters, and one sister kind of joins a cult, and the other sister feels like she needs to rescue her from this cult situation. And then there's some secrets from the past that are coming up. The whole thing, Stephanie Robel is like a read all night kind of writer for me. And I really like to sleep, so that is saying something. My students always typically ask me for like my favorite book ever.
Yeah.
And that's too hard, but the answer that I give them the most lately is this book by Deb Colletti. It's a YA book called A Heart in a Body in the World.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most beautiful book. It's about a girl who, and you know at the beginning that something bad has happened to her, but you don't really know what it is. And as part of her trauma response, she basically just leaves the restaurant where she's eating with her family and starts running across the country. She lives in Washington State and she's going to run to Washington, D.C. So she just goes, and her family makes this happen for her. And as she's going, you get more and more information about why she's running. And the whole thing was just so moving and beautiful.
I need to pick that one up. I love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, well, I'm at Kathleen West Writes on Instagram. That's probably the easiest. And I'm at K West Books on Twitter. And if you just Google Kathleen West author, all the right links will come up so you can find me. And I'm recently on TikTok. My students have been helping me You'd think that my own teenagers at home might help me, but they do not, and they're not interested in being my partner. But my students at school have been helping me with TikTok, and I'm very proud of our latest video.
I love this. I gotta check you out.
So. On TikTok, I'm Kathleen West Zero, but I put all the videos on my Instagram. So
awesome. Thank you, Kathleen, for being on the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.